Listen up, Road Warriors. The countdown is on. Holiday shopping season is officially here, and Uncommon Goods is taking the stress out of gifting. They've got thousands of unique, high-quality finds you're not going to see anywhere else. So don't wait, okay? You know the most meaningful gifts are the ones that get scooped up the fastest. So now is the perfect time to cross those names off your list. Uncommon Goods is the best because they look for products that are high quality, unique, and they're often handmade or made in the US, and a lot of them are even crafted by independent artists and small businesses, which makes every gift feel just even more meaningful and truly one of a kind. I'm actually giddy over a gift I found, and I'm getting it for literally all of my friends, including Phoebe. So Phoebe, shut your ears. It's the New York Times Games Premium Puzzle Book. You guys, first of all, the cover is so cool. It is going to look stunning on your coffee table. But it has hundreds of the games we love, like Wordle and Crosswords and Trivia, and it's all in this gorgeous hardcover book. Like, I'm just imagining, okay, you're bringing this to a Christmas grab bag party, and everyone is fighting over it, and you're like, oh my God, they're fighting over something that I brought. It's going to feel electric, okay? I've never seen this before. I was literally so excited when I saw it on Uncommon Goods. Moral of the story is that Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and gardeners. It doesn't matter, y'all. You're going to find thousands of new gift ideas that you're not going to find anywhere else. So don't wait. Cross those names off your list before the rush. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast. That's uncommongoods.com/prettylittlepodcast for 15% off. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hello, Road Warriors. As you know, I'm one of the great celebrators of Halloween. So when I suggest a spooky and spicy book in October, you gotta listen. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue.
We're both reading it.
Place bets on who will finish first.
And I can't believe how perfectly it ties into our girls. It's giving gothic horror, but with insane romance. So all you Arias out there are gonna love it.
And it's also super spicy and romantic and spooky. So even if you're not an Aria, you're pretty much going to freaking love it.
We just started reading it and Caroline texted me at 3 a.m. last night telling me she literally couldn't put it down.
And I am dying to know Phoebe's thoughts because it's her first spicy book and I think she's going to be hooked. Phoebe, do you want to read the synopsis?
Yeah. Gothic, sapphic romance meets supernatural suspense on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest. As a night of forbidden passion opens a Pandora's box of dangerous secrets and dark magic in this sinfully spicy standalone novel by New York Times bestselling TikTok sensation, Harley LaRue.
Sheesh. Obviously, we want you guys to read along with us. So you can get a copy of House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold in print and ebook.
And if you want to match us and get the gorgeous deluxe hardcover edition, it is available only for a limited time. So go grab yours before they're gone.
Hello and welcome back to the Pretty Little Podcast. We're your hosts.
I'm Phoebe.
And I'm Caroline. And today we are recapping season 3, episode 8 of Pretty Little Liars, Stolen Kisses.
Rock on.
Nothing will ever be better than crazy. Like, what a hilarious type. Crazy. Why is it called crazy? Was there like a reason?
Because Arya has to go to the Knot House.
So literally there's not a... I was like... Maybe there's like a really obvious reason, like they have like a
crazy party.
They
didn't even play Crazy by Patsy Cline.
Or Gnarls Barkley. Mm. Okay. In a duel, who wins? Crazy, Patsy Cline, Crazy, Gnarls Barkley. Both classics.
I mean, in a duel.
In a duel.
Probably Gnarls Barkley.
Why?
It's a little more meaty.
It's a little more like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's like a gnarl to it.
Gnarls Barkley.
Yep.
That song is so good.
It is.
Okay, I'm dying to play DDR though.
Anyway, I think that this picture here, nobody really,
Hannah looks amazing.
No shade to Sasha Peterson.
Sasha Peterson, okay. Yeah, but no, she looks rough in this
pic. I don't think anybody, like these, the four girls had at this point, like, almost a decade of time to practice posing and posing like this, and Sasha Peterson missed all of that.
Yeah,
and then they had to bring her in, and she
needs to be the fiercest one, mm-hmm. and she is the least fierce in this particular photo.
Yeah,
Hannah looks incredible. I'm not obsessed with Arya.
I mean, it's just giving what you would expect.
It's just like not that fierce.
No,
Shay is a pretty good.
And Troyan.
Yeah, it's kind of giving.
Yeah.
Sasha, it's just like, okay, first of all, the color red of her lipstick is different from everyone else's.
Yeah, it's like
it's
pinkish.
Like orange-ish almost. And all they're all wearing like blood red.
She and her eyes are too closed because
well, they're too
it's dark.
So dark. She's got like super black eyeshadow on, and then she's got her eye, like her head is tilted up. So like you can really only see her lids. But then she has a really stark white eyeshadow right underneath her eyebrows. And her eyebrows are also like black.
Yeah.
But her hair is super blonde. So like.
And her mouth is open.
And her mouth, yeah. It's just like a really weird pose, and like the makeup isn't really like matching the other girls. Uh-uh. It almost looks like she was like photoshopped.
Yeah,
in,
I was gonna say that because honestly, it's a perfect picture of the four girls.
Honestly, Aria kind of looks photoshopped in too. It looks like maybe not,
but I mean, like Hannah and Emily are for sure
they are
focal, and then Troyan's like she obviously isn't photoshopped.
Troyan's like, look at me, and I'll freaking hypnotize you. That's the vibe she's giving me.
And actually, interesting, this is more hand holding. Emily and Hannah are holding hands.
Oh, yes.
We know that they famously love to hold hands.
They
everybody
do. We they sure do. I was gonna say something. Fuck, I don't know. What's up?
Not much.
Can you fucking think of something? I have a new kind of eczema on my fingers.
Didn't ask. Don't care.
Okay, well then maybe you could contribute something to the conversation for once in your life.
These are some things that we didn't talk about before. Drew Barrymore's Taylor Swift Instagram post.
Wait, did you see it?
Obviously.
Oh my God.
The picture that's just her.
It is like
someone took one of her.
So boomer though. It's so cute. Hang on, I'm going there.
Hang on, I'm going there.
Oh my God. No, the first picture, Phoebe, the very first picture is like a complete, it looks like Taylor Swift is a specter, like a spirit floating through the air. She is essentially translucent. She is just glowing in motion. It's a very odd picture to start with. Okay, that's number one. We then move into a picture of Taylor from the back singing with a giant orb of light coming down. I guess I can see how she may believe this is artsy. Third picture is Drew Barrymore, blurry, with a hat on, hands folded underneath her chin, watching with love and admiration.
It's so cute.
But blurry. Fourth picture, just like a picture of like the floor. Fifth picture, fire. Fifth picture is just bad blood and like intense raining fire, and that's the post. And she said, I cried so hard when you sang Welcome to New York is in all caps. I moved here not knowing where my life was going, and I actually found myself so happy in this chapter. How am I doing?
Pretty good.
I also cried watching my daughters and cousin Sadie watch and love and sing to someone so admirable. I kind of sound like Leslie Mann more than Drew Barrymore,
maybe.
Like when I'm doing that, it's a little too high pitched.
Yeah,
cause she like talks, mm-hmm. not like she like talks up here, and she's really just like that. But Drew Barrymore is more like down here.
Yeah.
Okay, that was it. You in all caps, I love you, Taylor Swift. You are the role model all of us girls and women need. Thank you for one of the best nights of our lives. We are so lucky to have seen your show. You're oh so giving 3-hour show. P.S. We listen to you on vinyl every morning to get ready for our day. Okay, Aria. You transcend. Okay, Aria. And make life beautiful. Everyone passing beaded bracelets around, witnessing the good. Mic drop. Mic drop.
Imagine her being driven like somewhere and she's in the back
furiously
just, like,
diving.
She's crafting this.
She's like,
she wrote it in her notes
streaming
first.
Down her eyes. You're like, do you want us to like check out the pictures like at home first? Like, make sure that these are the best ones we took tonight. We definitely gotta put our best foot forward to social, Drew. We haven't been doing like the best we could be doing with following like yours. So,
oh my God, she's so funny. Another thing that happened a while ago that we didn't discuss. Was that Keith Urban hard launched Bo Burnham and Phoebe Bridgers.
Oh my God. Wait, yeah.
And like we knew they were together. But I was choosing not to see it.
He literally posted a video of them
making out
at the Taylor Swift concert.
And then Phoebe Bridgers put on her story her listening to Keith Urban.
Oh my God.
Is that not so funny? So I guess she's okay with it. But like, they had been kind of like
Nicole,
elusive.
Where were you?
Nicole was in the video.
No, I know. But like, where were you when he pressed post? Are we not looking like, no, oh, Keith, darling. Like, don't post that. Oh my God. Like, you're famous. Be sensitive.
It's so funny.
It's hilarious, though. It's so good. Well, wait, while we're on the topic of Taylor. Taylor and Maddie, Taddy broken up. I love that headline. I really was like getting tired of it.
Yeah.
I was.
I think that she just was having a little bit of fun.
She was, and like good for her. But what was getting tiresome to me
was having to defend her.
Exactly.
And I hate
And I have had to defend her
my whole
too
life.
Many times for too fucking long. And I thought I was past that. Mm-hmm. I thought we all agreed that she can't do anything wrong. She's the best. I thought we were all on the same fucking page. And then people who even love her are like, we have to hold her accountable?
Since
like,
when?
Yeah, like, no, we don't. No, we don't. Taylor Allison Swift, Big Al, no, we don't. She knows she's a fucking problem. She's saying about it a lot. I'm wearing a shirt that fucking says it. I still need to invite you for that. I will.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Gil. I love when it. Have you been around when Anthony's gone, oh, Gil? Have you been there? Oh my God, it's so funny.
Have you been there?
Have you been there or what? Have you been there or what?
No.
Wait, guys, what do we think about grad parties? Lame or cool?
I think it depends.
I think if you are 18 and you're going to your friend's grad party, and you know that at the end of the night, all the kids are going to stay and party in the backyard and we're going to drink the leftover alcohol and like kiss each other. Like then like, that sounds fun if I'm 18, and if everyone else is too.
Okay.
But nowadays, don't invite me.
Yeah, I think also you're at a weird age where it's like,
I'm not at a weird age. Go fuck yourself.
No, I just feel like you're
also, you're at a weird age.
You're not
28.
No, I mean like you're not a kid there to celebrate, yeah, but you're also not a parent.
No, I know. But like, don't you feel like that way too?
Well, I just graduated from, it feels different.
Yeah, but I mean,
I know kids like it. I mean, I wouldn't, like, I don't want to go to the graduation party.
Well, I'm talking high school graduation parties.
Yeah. I would feel more annoyed because I know that if I went to a graduation party right now, every single person would be like, so, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And that makes me want to walk into traffic.
Well, that's why I don't like grad parties, because it's just small talk.
Yeah.
It's small talk on steroids.
That once I'm, I can imagine being a parent and just getting to like sit with your friends.
Yeah,
and, like,
except
have
for
good
like
food.
You have to fucking plan it and worry about like.
I mean, going to them.
Oh.
I think that my mom at my graduation party in high school, I had to drive her home.
Yeah, I guess it also depends. Like, yeah.
So, yeah, that's how I feel about graduation parties. Like, okay.
That's a problem.
Literally stop.
You know, what's that Taylor Swift quote? Never be so, you forget to be kind. What is it?
Never be so clever, you forget to be kind. Never be so kind, you forget to be clever.
Yeah.
Oh, I love the second one when she says, never be so polite, you forget your power.
Mm-hmm.
Never wield such power, you forget to be polite.
So good. Ugh. She's so great. But that's, I want to say to that person that just drove by.
The bass was booming, by the way. I don't know that you'll be able to hear it.
I want
to
say, never be so.
And this is why Taylor Swift is almost a billionaire. And
never be so fake cool, you forget to be respectful.
Good. Wait. Let's
never be so fake cool, you forget to be respectful.
Let's talk about that song real quick, though, Marjorie, because it.
No, it tears me up.
It does.
I'm scared to hear it.
Who? Actually, we know who because they put their fucking handle on the pictures. But like, who found a picture of Marjorie and decided to print
that out?
Hundreds of them. So you don't know her.
It's so creepy. Like, But haven't we talked about this?
I don't think so.
Haven't we chastised anyone who's been a part of that?
Well, if it's we haven't, creepy. We are now. And poor Taylor up there having to be like, oh,
I mean, just like,
that's so sweet.
No, like, I would have ignored it. And that's what she should have done.
It's not what she did.
She should have, honestly, though. She should have just been like, I can't see. The lights are bright.
The flashlights are enough. Like, us putting our phones up, that's enough.
Exactly. Well, like, also, like, we're all there.
Mm-hmm.
She can probably hear you crying.
Yeah. She knows that it's powerful.
Yeah, yeah. It's why she's, like, a billion zillionaire.
Yeah.
Because she writes songs that hurt you.
Yeah. So do you hear that basketball fans think that she is controlling the NBA playoffs?
Huh. I can't say. I did hear that. I like how this has become a Taylor Swift podcast.
It is.
Until the Eras Tour and well after, it will continue to be. Dude, 2 weeks.
I
not
can't even believe it.
What? Wait, I have to show you my dress.
But I didn't even know that, like, I Don't Want to Live Forever was a contender.
I didn't either. No one did. And then how did she make it so hard? Literally saw the video and I was like, wait. I don't remember I Don't Want to Live Forever being like a hit. Like, I don't remember, like, the lyrics hurting me. I remember it being in 50 Shades of Grey. And then,
oh my god, and then she's singing
it
and
with,
like,
the piano.
I was
like, oh my god.
Joe Alwyn, I hope you spend time in a sewer soon.
What's the one line? I don't even know, like, the words at all, because I've only ever
trying
thought of
to figure
it.
Out if I just dodged a bullet or lost the love
no,
of my life.
No.
That's the one that got her.
It's in, I know, but it's in the chorus.
Baby, I feel crazy.
No, but the way she said I feel crazy, she like that. I don't know. It's so good. The crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. Oh my god, we are obsessed with crazy. Okay, in a duel, who wins? Taylor Swift saying crazy last night at the Eras Tour, or the title of the Pretty Little Liars episode of last week? Anyway, honestly, I was like so thankful though that it was I Don't Want to Live Forever, because I wanted my feet dirty. I had to walk outside and get the fucking be the groundhog police. Okay, you're forgetting that.
I know, but like, of all places you put them, can you put some fucking socks on?
I always say that to Anthony, because I don't believe men's feet should be out in public.
Caroline doesn't let Anthony walk around his own house without shoes on.
That's not true. That's not true. When other people are here. Because I think it's disrespectful.
I think this is disrespectful.
Well, can I at least talk about the groundhog? I can't.
I guess.
Everyone's now dying to know.
Yeah.
Guys, I'd never seen a groundhog before.
Which is weird. We live in Pennsylvania.
How many have you seen in the wild, Phoebe?
At least three.
That is not true. Name one time. Specific. Give me details. Because you would remember.
Down there.
Down where?
On Scrubgrass. I was driving.
Okay. You were already debunked, because there's no way you could have seen it if you were driving. It's like camouflage.
Right, because I forgot. When I get into a vehicle,
your eyes were on the road, Phoebe.
Which is
your eyes were on the fucking
road. That's
where
road. The groundhog was.
No, it wasn't. No.
Caroline's just jealous I've seen a groundhog before.
No, but I came face to face with it.
Okay.
And also, it's not a good omen.
You're a fucking martyr.
No,
over
actually,
here.
I'm scared for you, because it's not a good omen to see a groundhog, which I learned.
Why?
So here's the whole deal. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to walk you through
Maybe
it.
Maybe this is the key to why everything in my life seems to be falling apart.
Maybe it is. Okay, so listen up and listen good. So I was like, interesting, my dogs have been in the yard for a while and like haven't been trying to come back, and usually they do. So
they've actually been trying to leave.
I'm like, are they running away? So I go out and I see they're like in the back corner of the yard, and I don't love when they're back there because there's like some low-hanging trees and I just scared of ticks. So I'm like, come on, and Drama comes in and Chuck will not, like, he literally just will not, and he's investigating. And so I walk up in the yard, and like, it was just mowed and everything yesterday, so I just was like, I'm just gonna go barefoot. And I walked barefoot back there, and I just see a pair of eyes looking back at me from like the darkness, and I screamed. It scared the fuck out of me. It was like massive. It was really big. And I was like, is it pregnant, and or is it like sitting on babies? Like that's how big it was. It was creepy. And then I screamed and ran away, and Chuck like would not come. He'd know.
Have you ever seen a picture of Punxsutawney Phil?
Yeah, but like this was just different. Okay. It was just a lot different seeing it like that in my yard. It's classified as a rodent.
Next Groundhog's Day, we should go.
No.
Why?
Because it's not a good omen. Let me get there, okay? So I come back in and I'm like texting my neighbors. I'm like, dude, there's like a big ass groundhog back there. And so we go back, the groundhog's gone, but we see the hole it has dug under the fence. And Charleston is obsessed with it now. And I'm like, why weren't they even barking at it? Like, they were like wanted to be like tight with the groundhog. Like, they were just trying to hang out, which is even more annoying. Because now Charleston's like sad that his friend left. So like, fuck that groundhog for real. So I Google like, what do I do about the groundhog? Like, because it's going to come back. And it gave me all these tips. And then it was like, you know, suggested questions. What is like the meaning of, what is the spiritual meaning of groundhog? And I looked and it was like groundhogs can be sent to you as like a spirit guide who's telling you to like trust your intuition and pay really close attention to your surroundings and like the people around you and their energies.
So that doesn't sound like a bad omen.
And then the next thing I said was like, what does it mean? What does it signify? And it was like, usually it means like something bad is going to happen to you or your loved ones. And it's a warning from a spirit. Hmm. So those were the two things I saw about and like, not gonna lie, made me a little uneasy. Number one is like trust your intuitions and you pay close attention because people around you are gonna fuck you up apparently, or your loved ones. Dude, I know. I was thinking that. Did this happen yesterday? Yeah. No. The groundhog happened this morning, but I got the text. Okay.
What were we talking about?
Taylor Swift.
Oh.
Oh, and okay. No, what line is it? And I don't want to live forever. I don't want to just fit wherever. That's what it is. It's like, I don't want to live forever. No, 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 no. I don't want to fit wherever. And I was like, ooh, that, like, I never really listened to the lyrics. Yeah. I was like, they don't matter because it's like just manufactured for this movie.
Yeah, that's what, exactly.
But I don't want to fit wherever is like, ooh, I don't know. I
especially with like thinking about the context of the relationship.
The story we've created.
Yeah.
The story we've, by the way, we've manufactured. like we don't know a thing about what happened, but we have decided
that Joe Alwyn is a super villain
and he is public enemy number one. And he
Shawn Mendes was right.
About what?
Do you remember when he did his lie detector test and they showed him a picture of Joe Alwyn? Because they were like, You went on tour with Taylor Swift, God. And then they slid a picture of Joe Alwyn across the desk, and they're like, "Do you know this man?" And he was like, "I don't know him personally, whatever."
Yeah.
And then they're like, "What do you approve of him or something?" And he was like, "Yeah, he seems like a nice guy." And then the guy is like, "He's lying," and then he's like, "I mean, he just kind of has like a villain look to him." His eyes are really blue, and I struggle with blue eyes. Like, he's getting so worked up. I can imagine. About it. He's like,
fuck the text I'm going to get from Taylor later. Like, great.
But he was right.
He was right.
Yeah. In our heads.
In our heads with the story we've written.
Yes.
Yeah.
But someone was like, Midnight is technically a breakup album. She was, the person said, the person was like, the initial Midnight that we got was like her and Joe like trying to figure out where their relationship was gonna go. Mm-hmm. And then the Great War was on there, and she thought that she got through it, and mm-hmm. then she added Hits Different and You're Losing Me.
I know. Ooh. I know.
I Taylor Swift, I would physically hurt someone for you.
I would physically hurt myself for you. Stop hitting yourself. Anyway, do you want to do your rotation?
Yeah.
Go ahead, your dream.
First up is Allie from Vanderpump Rules.
But yes, specifically, yes, yes. Give her the recognition she fucking deserves.
From the reunion this past week. Yes. She held herself with such composure.
She's so poised.
And she stood by James in a way that she's still holding him accountable for his actions. But she's also like, you guys don't get to just talk about him. I know.
She's such a good partner. And he is not an easy person to be a good partner to.
And the thing that she said about Raquel and how Raquel was like narrating, that she was like, I don't know why everybody let her like become the narrator of that night. She wasn't even there.
Yeah.
and this is what happened, and this is what we're saying happened, and Tom is still over there trying to be like such ugh. But yeah, she was on that for like 6 minutes and she stole the show.
She was so great. She looked beautiful. She looks great. I love, she's just gorgeous and nice. I just love her. I really do. And I like James, and I just,
and she's honestly, they compliment each other so well, because when they brought up drinking, he got like kind of defensive about it, but she was able to like still, she was on his side of things and was like, no, like it's not under, I mean, it's not out of control, and like we're managing it, and like we go, but like she's much more calm about it.
Right.
While still keeping his side, like she's able to tame the situations when he gets more worked up.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's just a really good communicator. Yeah,
it was great.
You know, she does like readings, like astrology readings. Oh, you can book with her.
That's sick.
I want to book one. They're all virtual. How fun would that be?
It'd be so fun. Should we have her on the pod?
Oh my God. Should I do it and be like, by the way, I'm recording this.
The whole thing.
I might book one. They only have one available though. Like one level right now, and it's $200. So
woof.
But that's the most expensive one. So I'm like, what are the others?
Yeah. So she's
it's
on there.
An hour on Zoom with her.
Man.
Yeah.
Bank.
I know. Good for her. But she and her other ones are sold out. So like, I hope she's getting a lot of business. But yeah, she's just, but it's so funny that these people are like running restaurants and like doing things where you can like actually,
I think about that a lot with the show as I'm watching it, of like, especially in the early seasons when they're, none of them have any money.
And you just would, you could like go to the restaurant and they could like be your server.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're just working normal jobs.
Yes.
But it, I mean, Food and Bev, they were, Bravo was genius for having a show about Food and Bev, because they
the characters,
oh my goodness, you could work with a felon and you could work with
a 16-year-old girl. This is her first job.
Yeah,
that was like my movie theater job. It was like there were people who were like kind of dangerous, and then it was like me, and then it was like the jock from whatever, and then it's like you have,
and you guys are all working on a team together,
a
and you
70-year-old
like,
woman, like it's like you're gonna, you just have like from all walks of life, and it's your best friend can become like, you know, someone who's
speaking
like way
of movie theaters.
I
want to go sit in an AMC movie theater so badly.
Let's
right
go
now. Like I just want to get my popcorn and a large Diet Coke and listen to Nicole Kidman.
Let's go see a movie tonight. Anyway, I'm just so glad, I'm genuinely so happy to hear Allie's name come out of your mouth. By the way, sorry guys, if any of you are listening and you're A, not a Vanderpump fan, or B, not a Taylor Swift fan, like, I don't actually know why you're here. We're so happy you're here. Please don't go. I'm sure.
We just, if you haven't noticed, we tend to hyperfixate.
Yeah, I'm sure our content will evolve as time goes on, so stick with us. But also consider, like, getting on board.
Yeah.
Because it will make this conversation we're all having together right now so much more fun.
Taylor started watching Vanderpump.
I mean,
and now
you
she's
weren't
like,
watching it, and now you're like,
yeah.
Like when this started, you didn't give a fuck. And now you're like talking Allie's in your dream blunt rotation. Hello. I love it.
It's
brings
awesome.
Me joy.
I just love reality TV. And I think that I was on, I was not like, I just didn't, I hadn't found a reality show that I loved in a minute. It used to be Selling Sunset. This season, it's not the same without Christine.
No.
The level of drama that's being started is not.
Who do you think the new villain is? Chrishell or Nicole? Or Chelsea? Or Brie? Or Heather?
I think, who's the one that dated Jason?
Chrishell?
No.
Nicole.
Yes. I can't stand her.
I can't stand her.
There's a reason you weren't on the, you've worked at the O group for so long and you.
She's.
You're not. You
intolerable.
So, and I was like proud of Chrishell when she was like just laying
but
into
also
her.
Like, girl, I'm sorry. People saying like, you're on drugs. Like, you're acting like you're on drugs. That's not, like, that's a very, like, honestly, maybe it shouldn't be, but that is a normal thing people say. Like, people will be like, are you on drugs? Like, why are you acting like that? Why are you saying that?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't actually think you're on drugs.
Right.
They're just saying, like, that's such a crazy thing to say.
Right.
You must not be thinking straight, are you on drugs? So, like, for Nicole to react the way she did and go get
crazy.
A fucking lawyer and a drug test, that was a little much. It's also like, girl, I'm sure you do drugs.
I feel like she probably knew that she wasn't, like,
I think she absolutely does drugs.
No. I think what I mean is, like, I think that going into the season, starting to film, getting to be on the show this season, she was probably like, I wasn't on the, I need to, like, prove that I can bring something to the mm-hmm. table. But it's just annoying. It's too much. It kind of feels the same way the tail end of Christine's drama mm-hmm. felt with like the money and stuff. Like
yeah.
stuff that I didn't really buy.
Yeah.
Season one of Selling Sunset is perfect television.
It's just like so funny though. I got whiplash the other night because now I'm like rewatching season six because it's just the best TV to have on like in the back. Don't mm-hmm. you agree?
Yeah.
And I just love it. Anyway, so I was watching it and then I like finished season six and it went back to season one and episode one. And I was like, oh, like seeing all of them and how different they look, the production value. Like it is like it's they so used different. To dress like actual realtors.
Yeah.
Like and now they're dressing, now they're I mean, insane. But that's why I love it. So I don't care.
That and then Bachelor kind of fell off for me. Bachelor yeah, used me to too. Be my life.
I didn't, me too. And I didn't watch Zach's season at all, but. Are you going to watch Charity?
I think I'll give it a chance.
I might. I'll give it a chance.
Because I just love... It's the Bachelor...
I'm
going to
need something. Because Vanderpump and Summer House are going to be over after this week.
Yes. So that's what I loved about The Bachelor was it was every Monday.
Something to look forward to.
Exactly. We would like make a nice dinner yeah, or something.
And we would all watch it and our friends would yeah. come over. It was like so fun.
That was...
Ugh. We should get back to that when it comes on.
Yeah, especially because I'll be here
yeah.
for a while.
Yeah, so, well, we can talk about it off the record.
But anyway.
We're not at all. But anyway. Hey, guys, did you notice that Phoebe... Oh, wait, you're on your dream blunt rotation.
Yeah. Wait, what? Did you notice what?
Oh, my God, you're obsessed with yourself. I said, did you notice that Phoebe and I can't get it out of your head? What was she going to say? What was she going to say? It was actually about me.
Oh.
Did you notice that Phoebe left in all of my Imogen Heap? I was shocked. I was shocked, but do you guys know that song? Did you sing along?
I just like didn't know where to cut it. Like I didn't.
You were like, I can't cut all of it because what a gift, but I can't cut. But I'm gonna leave the whole thing in. Is what you said.
Right.
Okay. So the rest of your dream blend rotation.
Next is Selena Gomez, but specifically the pictures of her in Paris from recently. Thank you. Caroline covered her feet with the pillow.
You can go fuck yourself, though. Just so you know.
Did you see the pictures?
What? I'm sorry, I was busy like doing that.
Do you see the pictures of Selena Gomez?
No.
1 second.
I want to tell you something that's going to make you upset.
What?
There was some shit talking of Selena Gomez yesterday.
Where?
At Pride.
By who?
By people I was with.
Okay.
I'm just telling you.
Why?
And I kind of participated a little bit.
That's fine.
Because I think she's kind of annoying. And I don't understand how she's the most followed person on Instagram.
Yeah, I don't get that.
That is, I'm sorry, Kim Kardashian, Taylor Swift. We were talking about it last night and I said that. And I said Taylor Swift and Amber was like, wait. She has more followers than Taylor Swift. I'm like, somehow. She goes, she must be buying them. Like, I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense to me. Since she's all like, I don't want to be famous. I also like don't like this little like persona she puts on. That's like, I'm so normal. Okay, I can't see that. Let me see.
There were like higher quality pictures. I don't.
What is the point of this picture?
It's this specific Selena Gomez. I think that if she can just go live in Europe and live a European lifestyle.
Oh, I love.
Like she, I just think she would be a lot more tolerable.
Okay, so you see what I'm saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought I'd be upset.
Well, because you were very defensive of Selena.
I love Selena Gomez.
I know. So that's why I didn't.
But I love like Selena Gomez, like Wizards of Waverly Place, Monte Carlo.
That's how I feel too. Like Ramona, that's a Selena. And now I feel like she's gotten a little, like, I'm sorry. Her documentary didn't make me like her more. Mm-mm. And you never watched it, did you? Mm-mm. Yeah, I thought I was going to like leave the documentary and like be obsessed with her even more. And I actually was kind of like, okay, well, you're not that nice. Like, I don't know. I just, didn't make her look super likable.
Yeah, which is
like
crazy.
She's a little bit annoying. She's a little bit like Aria vibes.
Yeah, for you sure. You know? 100%. So, but
I feel like she's a celeb. It's like, I don't actually have a TV. I don't watch TV or wear shoes in the house. Like, you know? Yes. I don't know.
And then lastly, Emma Roberts at the basketball game on the
big
screen.
Yes. Oh my God.
I actually think that's a pretty solid three people.
Yeah, like, I do
together.
Too.
They would work together, I think.
I do too. I think that's good. Good job.
Thank you.
Oh, really good. I would hang out with them. Okay.
Even though we just talked about how we don't like Selena.
Well, it's not that I don't like her. I just think she's kind of annoying. and that maybe she buys followers.
Okay, my nightmare rotation. Number one is clowns. And
did you see the thing I sent you?
Yeah, that's really where this is coming from. So Phoebe sent me something. Think of the most horrifying thing you could imagine, and this is worse. Okay, I'll just read you the caption.
It's kind of like, if you guys, you all know that I love Babylon, the movie. There's
and
a
y'all
scene,
know that I love Babylon, the song.
There's a scene in Babylon where they go find, who plays Spider-Man? Tobey?
Maguire.
He's in it, and he's playing like this creepy, like, drug addict, like,
battle for your life, Babylon.
Like, I don't know how to describe his job, but basically they have to take the main character to this, like, it's a horrifying place. It was a really scary part of the movie. Uh-huh. And they, like, it's, I think it's supposed to be, like, Dante's Inferno, the way that, because you, okay, like, they're, like, in a sewer, and they keep going lower and lower and lower. But there's one where there's clowns, and they're doing terrible things, yeah, and it reminded me of this.
Well, this is horrifying, okay? It's a photo of a clown in front of three people who are smiling.
I think we should go.
We will not be going. It says, we went to this secret clown show at a North Charleston motel.
Motel?
It was a fever dream. Motel, did you miss that?
I guess I did miss that.
Guys, you know that Charleston is like, fuck, I'm upset. Hands are shaking, palms are sweaty. You know we love Charleston. We have...
What?
I didn't see that picture. I accidentally swiped on the clown post. Guys, Charleston is like where all my friends are, and that's where I went to school, and that's where we vacation, whatever. This happened there. That
home
is
base.
Absolutely unacceptable to me. Yeah. It's so scary. Okay. Oh. Too close for comfort. Oh my God. Bullshit. The people laughing. Clowns are nothing but scary. And these clowns are scary.
Read what they did.
Oh my God. Okay. What exactly happens at a secret clown show? Surreal skits and a 23-minute reading of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland. That sounds horrible.
Who is going?
People.
Yeah.
And you know
what?
I see one of my friends like that post. Peter.
He should go.
He probably will go. He probably has gone. I mean,
he's actually in it.
I hate clowns, guys, and I've always hated clowns.
We've talked about this.
So just clowns are there today. I just can't handle it. I tried to take back the power by buying that Pennywise costume, the hyper realistic Pennywise costume. It lives in my basement. It's still down there. I could put it on if you want.
No, because it was bad luck when you put it on last time. You hurt yourself.
I didn't actually hurt myself. I forgot I already was hurt.
I think we have to put that video up.
No, we don't.
And Elvis in the back. Elvis is like, do you fucking mind?
Elvis is like, okay. Number.
And the video also was taken at like at 12 a.m.
Oh, yeah. Lily took it. We were home alone. I was like babysitting her, I think. Okay. Next up is Max. Max, period. HBO Max, don't fix something that's not fucking broken. First of all, you changed the color. Second of all, you are just Max now. Don't add stress. Don't add a negative connotation to the name Max. I have a cousin named Max, and we have a dog you really like named Max also. So, and have you ever heard of Max and Ruby? So, to me, I don't like the weaponizing of the word Max.
Yeah.
Which is what it feels like, because when I see him, like, I feel assaulted.
You want to know something about our dad?
Tell me.
He's such a contrarian. And I was like, Dad, do you think that HBO Max dropping the HBO part of their app name is going to hurt, like, its reputation? Knowing full well that it is, because I see it online. Everybody's pissed.
Yeah.
And Dad's like, no. No. Because, I mean, it's not just HBO anymore.
What is it?
They have Shark Week. They have... He was like rattling all this stuff.
HBO Max. Like, it's HBO plus all
everything.
That. I can't.
If you're gonna rename it HBO Plus.
I thought you were about to say you're gonna regret it. Like, because you said you're gonna, if you're, and I thought you were gonna say gonna regret it. Well,
and
you are gonna, I mean, we're still gonna watch Pretty Little Liars, and we actually need your platform to do this podcast, but
yeah,
I'm not happy about it.
You know what, you know that I brought up this James Baldwin quote before. You, if you love it, you criticize it.
That is a little different than the last time you said
That's
it.
That's not how he said it, but, you know, I mean, he was talking about America. I'm talking about HBO Max.
Okay, well, same difference. Okay, and the last one is secretaries.
That's really fucked up.
Secretaries everywhere of all shapes and sizes, and here's why. Okay.
Mrs. Kennedy?
You made it personal. Hey, by the way, you did that. I just had secretaries in general, and I wasn't going to name names. And I'm not naming names. Still, you did. But I just have a problem with women saying, like, yes to doing all that admin. And now it's, like, expected that I should do admin. And I feel like it's secretarial work, and I didn't sign up for that. And so I don't think the job should have ever existed. Admin is the reason why. Do you not agree?
I'm like really confused about how you're, I don't know what you're mad
buying
about.
Staples, ordering snacks for the office, sending faxes, answering
emails. Are you
having
to do this?
Answering the phone. Yeah, on a daily fucking basis. Are you not? It's called being an adult. But then they made it a job and they were like, we love it. We're going to be the nicest woman you've ever met. And it's like, don't make it look like I should have a good attitude while I'm doing what you're doing.
Well, they're getting paid for it.
That's true. I'm doing it for free. But I have to do it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. I talked about it in therapy for a long time. I hate it. I hate having conversations. I don't want to.
You hate it. Hey, your job is having conversations.
This?
Yeah, this job.
Oh, right. But sometimes when I'm talking to you, it just feels like I'm talking to a wall. So that's not like a real conversation.
Okay.
Wait, but do you really not see my point?
I don't understand why secretaries are getting... You could just say admin.
Well, because secretaries made it famous.
No, the work was already there.
Mm-mm. They've added. Like, for example, okay, I didn't want to name names, and I don't know this girl's name, but she's on TikTok, and she's an office manager and thrilled about it. And she posts videos every day, like a day in the life as the office manager. And it's like her refilling snacks. She's like a little twirl to show her outfit in the beginning. She's like answering the phone. She's ordering lunch for everyone. She's like doing all the admin. And she's like, he, love my life. And she's posting about it on TikTok and bragging. So for me, it's like, well, you just actually like made it even more annoying. Like you raised the bar more. Because what if there were secretaries who weren't like restocking snacks for everyone? Now they feel like they have to. Now I feel like I have to go grocery shopping at home for my home.
I think there's a lot of misplaced frustration.
Look, it's my nightmare blunt rotation. It's mine.
That's fair. I think that my new hyperfixation in words.
You just embarrassed me so much.
Is going to be fucking save it. I think that's no, you just so embarrassed me funny. So much. y'all couldn't see it, but there was just about a 10 second point where me and Caroline weren't talking to each other at all. We were both just talking. Caroline was facing the wall one way and I was looking over the other way, and we were both saying things that had nothing to do with each other.
No, hey, by the way, mine had everything to do with you. Mine was actually completely about you. Focus on you.
We didn't even acknowledge that the other person said something.
Well, because I was churning butter under my breath. I said, you just embarrassed me so much. So now I said it three times and you heard it.
Yeah.
And I wanted you to.
Well, fucking save it.
Oh, well, that's your new thing. But you stole that.
I did. From
and you're
Jake.
A thief and a half.
And a half.
I can't believe this new eczema, dude. It hurts. Please take that out. Please.
Please. But I'm keeping you begging in. I'm just going to take out what I said, or maybe I'll bleep it, and then they'll hear you begging.
No, I don't. Don't bleep it.
Why? That's the same thing.
It's making me upset. Take this whole trunk out. Take this whole trunk out. Take this whole trunk out.
Phoebe, make artistic decisions smart.
No, Phoebe, don't.
me don't. Editing. Me editing.
Phoebe, don't listen to her. Phoebe, no, you don't listen to her. You got an angel and a devil on your shoulder right now, okay? Make
you
the
know,
right no.
You know who's who.
You shut your mouth. You make the right decision, okay? You make the right decision. Or the left one. If the left one is the right decision, usually it is.
I think you just confused her.
I have no doubt she's been confused. All right, guys. That was it.
Okay, so we are back with the website, the Maya website, and the girls are trying to figure out how to get in. They obviously don't want to ask Caleb for his help, and it's like sensitive because of Emily, of course. So they're trying to figure it out, and Emily comes in the room, and she had just been on the phone with Nate, and they're talking about like going to the boathouse together
later. Which I've never even freaking heard of.
And I'm just getting weird vibes from the whole situation.
Yeah.
Just a little uncomfy. So then Emily's like, okay, let me try like one password for Maya's website. It doesn't work. And she's like, I guess I didn't know her as well as I thought I did. It's like, okay, my passwords are not an indication of like who I am or if you know me.
It's like something that I decided 15 years ago and it's stuck,
or it's just something that's like funny, like it's it usually has nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. So Emily, you don't need to like get in your feelings about this, just this is not the time. But I think Hannah's really sweet. Hannah's like, Emily, like, are you okay if we try to break in? Like, yeah. And Emily's like, you have to. So but Hannah's the only one who's like, Emily, like, are you gonna be okay if we like violate your ex's privacy? Yeah, literally. Spencer's like, not only am I violating your ex's privacy, Emily, I'm also going to call Hannah's ex and ask him to come help us with it. And I'm not going to ask either of you if you're cool with that.
Dude.
So then we have Aria. She's getting ready for, go hang out with Ezra.
And her dad knocks on the door and she says, it's okay.
Not like, come in, not what's up.
And then she sees that it is her dad. There was a high likelihood it was going to be your dad, Aria.
Since
and
she's the like only, pissed. Yeah.
She's like,
literally. And he walks in. He's like, I just wanted to tell you that Meredith got the job.
Oh my God. And at this point,
Meredith
I'm
is gonna
dropping
be
out.
Teaching at Rosewood. I mean, I'm sorry. Byron, how are you coming in your daughter's room to deliver this news and you like don't see
how horrible this is
for all parties? Like, not only is your daughter like scarred from catching you guys? You made her carry a secret with her for an entire year. You moved her entire family to Iceland afterwards for a whole fucking year, right after her friend disappeared. You bring them back and all hell breaks loose. You try to get back with Ella. Doesn't work out. You somehow blame her for this. And now you're seeing her again. And you're like, oh, and now on top of all of that, that wasn't enough. She's going to be a teacher at your school where also your mother works.
Also, Meredith, why do you want to work there?
Meredith is bonkers. And that's all I know, because that's the only explanation for why she would pursue a job there.
She's so fucking
like she
crazy.
Must think she it's like Raquel vibes. She thinks she's hot shit. And she's like, I don't give a fuck. I want to like wave it in front
that's
of their
so
faces.
True, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It
like
honestly
she's
is.
Like, I won. Like that's how she sees it. Yeah. She's fucking loser child.
Fucking loser child.
Fucking loser child. And so Arya's like, well, are you gonna tell mom? And he says he's going to. I feel bad for Aria and for Ella, like that.
Which is rare.
So I know. It's rare they earn my sympathy, but they sure did. So we're with Emily and Nate at the boathouse now. And I feel like you should have really remembered this.
I think I blocked it out because Emily's in a hat. No. Not just a hat. She's in a fedora. Yeah,
thank you. Thank
which
you.
Is troublesome.
She's in a fedora that I'm pretty sure Phoebe owned at one time.
But here's the thing. She wasn't wearing it in front of her friends.
No, but now she's like outside. So maybe she's shielding herself from this. You tell me, what was your motivation? Like when you were putting on the fedora
fashion.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I think that's interesting.
Think
that Phoebe ages like 6 to 11 20. Should be the Met Gala theme next year.
Oh my God. Abysmal.
Yeah.
Can you actually? Okay. Here's what I'm going to wear. Orange and light blue neon plaid Bermuda shorts. Skater shoes, Heelys maybe. I'm going to wear a white button down. With a tie and a gray vest over that. And I'm going to wear a fedora with a feather in it. And I'm going to put a big old gap in my teeth.
Ah, that's fucked. And then Jared Leto is going to show up as the gap in my teeth.
As the gap in your teeth. Wow. That'll be interesting.
He'll figure it out.
You know who has like crazy teeth? Groundhogs.
Just way to say, just like completely just bring the mood down.
Sorry, it's a bad omen, but it is. So anyway, Nate is like getting really worked up about Maya, and he's talking about Garrett. He's like, I wish I could just kill him with my bare hands.
Yeah.
And Emily's like,
hey, buddy.
Okay. And he's like, sorry, are you scared of me? And Emily's like, no.
Do I need to be?
And he's like, I just wouldn't want you to be scared of me. She's like, okay, stop. I just fucking said I'm not. But like, now I feel weird.
Yeah.
You've said, are you scared of me too many times for me to feel not scared.
Arya walks into the apartment and says, something, 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 drop and give me 20.
Both go. She says like, something, something, drop and give me 20. Yeah. And then she sees Ezra's mother. How mortified would you be?
And she goes, oh, hello. And Arya says, hi.
Arya's like, hello.
Kind of weird that I don't know who you are.
Here's the deal, though. If I walk into my boyfriend's apartment, and I've never met his mom, but there's like an older woman who bears even a slight resemblance to him.
I'm thinking it's his mom.
Oh, it's probably his mother. So I'm going to like immediately, and even if it isn't, guess what? It's someone who's older than me. I'm just going to like automatically be polite.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, oh my God, hi. And then I'm going to look at Ezra and be like, who the fuck is this? And he'll introduce it and it won't be awkward.
Instead, Arya's like, hey.
Arya's like, you're kind of in my space. Babe, did you double book again?
It's kind of like, this just isn't what I was expecting. No. It's like, we kind of like had this thing we were going to do and now
you're here. Like, so Ezra, how is this changing our plans for today? She doesn't really act like that, but like, Shocking that she didn't. We also find out something insane. Arya does not know Ezra's full name.
I'm going to give Arya some credit on this. I think the insane thing that we find out is that Ezra dropped the last Gerald. Two syllables of his last name because he doesn't want the albatross of Fitzgerald around his neck as a writer.
Did you get that reference?
I do, but I can't
place it. Turn and
look
at the thing right next to you. It's a quote from the Rime of the Ancient Mariner. And right there on that piece of paper, this is a really cute story from me and Anthony's beginning of dating.
Aww.
I think it was like 1 month of us dating. And I had said once like, oh, that's just like the albatross around my neck. And that's just like a saying. I thought that was just a saying people said, but it's actually really like an Englishy thing because of this. It's this poem. It's something about an albatross around your neck. And that's like I've said it before on the podcast, I think. That's like the cross you have to bear. It's just like a shitty thing.
I know what it means.
Okay. So anyway, I thought it was a saying people said like a lot. So I said it and Anthony like didn't know what I was saying. And so I was like, oh, it's a quote from this poem I really like. It's called The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. Like you should read it. Ha ha. And Anthony's like, yeah, I haven't read a book since 8th grade. Like probably not. But he did read it. And this poem is extremely long. Like, this poem is, like, long. He read it. And then I got in the car for, like, our 1 month anniversary date. And he hands me the piece of paper that's framed right next to you. And he read the poem. And he wrote, he who prayeth best loveth best. Right? That's what it says?
Well.
Loveth well. And he drew a picture of an albatross on just like a piece of lined paper and gave it to me.
It says both man and bird.
Yeah.
Something.
And he did that. And so then I framed it. And
whoa, I didn't realize that. I thought Lily made that. That looks like Lily's handwriting.
It's from our first month of dating. Isn't that cute?
That's a very cute story.
And then I said albatross around my neck in therapy this week. And my therapist was like, I got that reference, by the way. I was like, what? So Ezra just said that. And I thought it was funny. But yeah, now you know. Isn't that cute?
Yeah, it is cute. What's not cute is that Ezra is giving Dan Humphrey.
Yes.
Because Dan Humphrey is one, like, he thinks he's so underprivileged.
Yeah.
You live in, like, a massive apartment in Brooklyn. But and also, your parents are divorced.
Wait, oh my God. It's what I do.
Wait, I said that to you?
That was so fucking funny. And your sister. I'm telling you, I'm your sister. It's what I do. Right away, as soon as I saw that they were like, the line Jenny, I was like, it's gotta be, it's what I do. I didn't even remember that I'm your sister, but that it's what I do, I remember. And they played the clip, but I was like, I didn't even need them to, because I could see it in my mind's eye.
And especially when Benny's like, imagine
the editor seeing this and be like, oh, what the fuck? We have to use this one. Because it's so funny. It's
that for those of y'all that don't know.
Yeah, it's the scene in Gossip Girl where Dan has like tried shaving for the first time. And he's got like little paper towels all over him. And then they're all like having breakfast. And Jenny, this is when she's like little Jay, like sweet little Jay. She says something about they're like, hopefully there's not a spotlight on Dan today. And then they give her a look and she goes, I'm your sister. It's what I do. But it's like so, she doesn't talk like that. No, I'm your sister. It's what I do.
Do you want to hear something mortifying for me?
What?
As a kid, when those jokes would be made about shaving, of like.
Did you try shaving?
No. Fuck off. No. I thought that like boys, like if they like nicked themselves, I didn't realize they were putting paper towels on to like stop the, like I thought that their skin like did that.
And you're like kind of jealous. Oh my God.
Why would I be jealous?
I don't know, because their skin could do cool tricks that yours couldn't. That's so funny.
Yeah, and then I don't know when I realized that it was paper
today.
Towel.
No.
It was a while ago. I think that I had like a small cut somewhere, and then I looked at how that looked when I like put like a little like piece of toilet paper on like a cut or something, mm-hmm. and I was like,
huh. You're like, interesting. I've been duped. Duped yet again.
Yet again. Anyway, so
yeah. Yes, anyway, sorry.
We're going to start saying that around the house probably. Anytime we say something mean to each other and then you get mad or I get mad, we can just say, I'm your sister.
I'm your sister. It's what I do.
I can't even do it.
It's
like she was kind of like vocal coached.
Like she was trying to be
Blake
like Larry
Lively.
Brooklyn.
Like Blake Lively.
Yeah,
a
but it's
bit.
A little bit, I'm your sister. It's like she Italian. Like
we've kind of made up how she says
no,
that.
But
and
that
so
is,
did
I'm playing it now. I'm your sister. It's what I do. That's what she does. Hold, please.
There's not a spotlight involved. I'm your sister. It's what I do.
I'm your sister. It's what I do.
That is what she's doing. But I think that in our heads, we make it
I'm
so that
your
she's
sister.
A,
yeah. It's what I do.
That's like what we hear.
That it's so funny.
Oh my God. And she walked off set that day and she was like,
rock the fuck on,
nailed it. This is Hollywood.
Yes. She's like, I love dialect coaching.
Thanks, Blake, for the tip.
Thanks so much. And she's like, I have to go. Okay, so anyway, Ezra's mom is in town, and we're learning that his name is Ezra Fitzgerald. And as Phoebe said, he didn't want to have the Gerald on there because, and if he was named Hemingway, he would be Ezra Hem.
Mm-hmm.
And Arya said, it sounds like you're clearing your throat. Anyway, so Arya is going to go to like the gallery, some museum that Ezra's mom is
like being honored at or something. I don't know. Anyway, they're rich.
They're rich, which is interesting because she thought Ezra was poor. Yes. So what's the truth? Yeah. So first time Arya met her, and Ezra didn't tell the truth about like how long they've been together. And Ezra, that's duh.
Yeah. And Arya is like, you lied to your mom.
She's
yeah,
so
he
lying.
Did.
She's so
of
annoying.
Course he did.
You guys like are obsessed with lying. It's like your whole thing. So anyway, I have a sock bun written here because Hannah has a sock. Do you remember the sock bun?
How could I forget?
We both fell victim to the sock bun.
Well, I don't think I could do it.
I did it for you.
Oh.
You loved it though. And you like, and I would have to do sock buns for everyone. I would cut up. Why was I the glam squad our whole lives? I was always like, I'll do the girl's hair because I'm the only one who has to do a braid. Yeah. Why did no one know how to do a braid?
How did mom not know how to braid?
How did no one know? How did you not know how to braid?
I know how to braid.
You still can't curl your hair.
That's true.
Which is insane.
I wish I could.
Learn how. It is not that hard.
Can't teach an old horse new tricks.
You're 22.
Thank you.
That's not a compliment. I would kill myself if I was 22.
Holy shit.
Anyway, no, I'm just kidding. So Ren is texting Hannah that they need to talk. There's some news, I guess, about
hey
Mona.
Ren, stop texting 16-year-olds.
Stop it. Stop sharing classified information. It's inappropriate. It's
HIPAA doesn't exist in Rosewood, Pennsylvania.
Apparently,
neither,
NART.
Like, also, there's no reason for a lawyer to, like, lock up their files either, because...
Mm-hmm. So, now they go to the brew.
They look like they're on a date.
They very much do. Why did you go to the most public place?
To share classified information about a mental patient.
You know, at least go to, like, dinner. Like, go. I mean, I would honestly prefer they go to a restaurant because people, like, stop in and out of coffee shops all day. Like, if you want to be seen, go to a Starbucks, you know? You'll see someone you know if you sit in a Starbucks.
And that
is hell on earth.
Is why I go to the drive-thru.
And exactly. So, like, why are we going to the coffee shop where people are, like, coming and going all the time?
Yeah, it's like the watering hole.
It literally it is. So
that's the whole point. It's our secondary location.
Yeah. Literally. Why doesn't he just, like, pick you up and you drive around the block and it tells you and then drops you back
off? Why don't
you
meet him at Radley?
Yeah.
He said no problem sharing information that he shouldn't
be
there
so true.
Before. Just
so
go there.
True. He's like, I don't want to do it over the phone, but I do want to do it in broad daylight and in public.
Like, girl.
Okay.
And then Caleb walks in.
Well, he first tells her that they're moving Mona.
I don't even care.
This is
Sarasota.
This is incredibly important. They are going to move her to Sarasota because they think she needs a higher security place. And she's, like, not getting better. And they're pretty sure that she's been smuggling her meds out with the visitor. And that he knows it's not Hannah, but, like, whatever. And Hannah's like, no, N-O. She cannot go. You need, okay, Dr. Seuss. And, oh, you cannot go, she says. She's like, you need to, like, convince them that she needs to stay here and she'll get better in Rosewood, which,
girl,
cannot be true. I know that. And I guess he's going to try. But then Caleb walks in.
And Hannah stands up. Caleb looks at Ren. Ren turns around. And then they say nothing.
Why didn't Hannah just go, oh, it's not what you, like, it's not what it looks like?
Because Hannah's messy and she liked it a little bit.
But, like,
she was like, yeah.
Caleb, though. Caleb doesn't play those games. Caleb don't play those games.
Okay.
Hannah, you should be trying to get him back with everything you have. Spencer and Toby getting a little tiff.
What's new? They're fighting every day of their life.
They are.
Because Jason is hashtag gone.
Yes. And... basically, Toby's like, what the fuck is going on? You won't talk to me. Like, I need to know. And if you don't tell me, I'm just going to go find out. Like, Mona's locked up. Garrett's in jail. Like, all these things are happening. And every time your phone rings, you still jump 10 feet in the air. It's like, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting to a point where some of these partners are going to need to start figuring this out. Because I don't blame them. They think it's over. They're like, okay, enough. Like,
exactly.
I stayed with you through the hard time. Now we're supposed to, like, be having fun. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't blame him.
And then we go to Caleb gets out of his new freaking Mercedes Benz.
Oh, is he in a Mercedes?
Yeah. That's why Spencer makes that comment when he gets out.
Oh, my God. I didn't notice.
Spencer's like, you're not poor anymore.
Oh, my God. Also, Spencer, stay the fuck away from him.
She's in a shirt with birds with a belt over it. Also, Hannah's
she's irresistible and she knows it. How dare she approach Caleb like that? Just like a harlot.
waistline cinched
collared shirt. Well, I don't even know if it's collared.
Of course.
That's even worse if
of
it isn't. Even worse if it isn't.
And basically Spencer's like, can I ask you a really, like, obscure computer question? And he's like, sure. And she goes, basically, can you crack a password or something? Can you, like, break through?
And he's like, that's like not. The number one Googled the internet question.
Internet question.
But he does say that he will help because Spencer just tells him everything. Is that real?
It seems like it because he's asking about maybe
she tells him more than Hannah told him for
maybe
sure.
Maybe she's able to get him to think that, like, Mona's, it's not a new A necessarily,
okay,
but
maybe,
Mona's
yeah.
still, like, doing
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, we don't see the conversation. We see, like,
maybe
the tail end of it.
She could also have been, like, we're trying to figure out, like, who killed Allie if it wasn't Garrett, like, stuff
yeah.
like that.
So Caleb's like, okay, well, whatever happened between me and Hannah, like, I still really care about her. She's important and I want to protect her, so.
Anything I can do to kill the Mona monster?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was paraphrasing. He says that. He says the words Mona monster.
Of course.
And in that moment, I knew he'd be a great dad. but also, like, Spencer, ask Hannah first. I don't like
Spencer
that.
Doesn't know how to do that.
I don't
that.
Think that's cool. But then Caleb gets up and leaves. And also because of this, because then Spencer gets a fucking text from A that says, Mona's almost gone. Hannah's next. Immediately after you do this with her ex-boyfriend. Like, you don't think that those things are related, Spencer? So then they go and tell Hannah that they got that text. And Hannah's like, I need my blood. I literally need as much blood as I can get. Like, I cannot give away any of my blood. Enough with the blood. People get blood drawn every fucking day.
And if you didn't do anything, you're going to be okay.
You're going to be just fine.
But I guess her fear is that A could have...
Yes, but she seems more concerned with, like, just not having all of her blood that anymore.
That is true. I can't give anymore.
She's like, I need all I can get. I'm like, why? Why are you expecting, like, host a party for vampires in the next week? The fuck?
She just watched Twilight. She's like, just
she's like,
case.
Hey, all I can get because I'm single now. And I'm hoping if a vampire were to come in here, I would smell good to them. So good. I'd be irresistible. They'd say, I wish I could take a bite out of you, but they wouldn't because they'd look at my sock bun. They'd look at my wing liner. They'd look at my neon outfit and they'd say, she looks too good to eat.
Oh my God.
I ended that well with a little zing.
Nice.
Anyway, I wrote, I would be shitting myself. Oh, because Sparia is on the case. They go into Spencer's house and they go, like, Spencer, oh my God. She sees her mom's work briefcase and she's like, jackpot, like, picks it up and pulls out the Garrett file and they take photos of everything
like,
in
Aria
it.
Aria on her phone, on her personal phone.
If I were Aria, I'd be like, I will be standing watch in the other room. I don't want any fucking part of this. I would be terrified of Veronica. Of Vivi? Are you kidding?
My God.
Are you kidding?
Of all moms.
I would be petrified. I can't. But they take those pictures and then they bring them up to Spencer's room, print them out. So mostly like, what if the print job like got delayed? What if something happened and it printed out double copies? And now they're just sitting down there in the printer. Your mom's going to see that. Clearly, she doesn't have as much stress in her life as she should.
Yeah.
Hey, stress is maybe a good thing for you, Spencer. Spencer, you should have more of it. Consider having more of it. they look at it and they see that. What do they even find in it? Oh, Maya was killed. Hang on, I wrote it down. Maya's trachea was crushed by a metal bar.
Holy shit.
And she was killed the same night that Garrett was arrested between the hours of 10 to 2, I think. So there's like plenty of time for Garrett to have gone and killed her. However, Vivi has circled like some witness's name and says like, this guy is the key. Like if we can crack him, we've got the case. And there's an address. So
of course, Spencer and Aria are going to go there.
No, just Aria.
Oh, right.
Wait for Spencer, Aria. You're not good at this. Just don't go without her.
No.
And also, like, not safe.
No.
She's like, I'm a martyr. I'll go by myself, and if I get hurt, then I can make everybody
I'm
feel
shocked
bad
Spencer's
for me.
Spencer's letting it happen.
I am, too. Why is Spencer... What does Spencer have to go do?
Probably go check on fucking Jason.
Oh, probably. I don't know.
Jason skipped town. We already kind of mentioned that, but I wanted to reiterate.
Yeah. Okay, so now Emily and Mose are hanging out. Mose is like being weird and we haven't seen her since she found out that like
there was a scene Emily of her fixing her bike and then she stands up and one of her pant legs is completely rolled up.
Why?
But only one.
Why? Wait, that is like a dancer thing. But she's not a dancer. You're not in dance
class.
She's
an athlete.
You're an athlete. You're actually a mechanic right now.
A mechanic.
You're fixing a fucking bicycle.
Caroline fixing a bicycle. I am a freaking mechanic.
What would you call it?
Sydney Sweeney who? Me when I put the chain of my bike back on the,
I mean,
the gear.
How exactly?
When your hands are all like dirty, oh, you're like, oh, okay.
And you're like, there, and you're like Phoebe just goes, okay. She wipes her forehead and then flicks it up. Like wiping the grease on her forehead. Like, I'm not doing that. And you're certainly not rubbing that grease on my face. And also neither is Sydney Sweeney. She's not rubbing it. She's not going.
No, I was like rubbing the sweat off my brow. No.
Yeah, but you were like, you got the stuff on your fingers and then you're like wiping the sweat off your brow.
No, I did it with the back of my hand.
But you first went like that.
No, I didn't. Yes, like you did.
I watched.
I know, but I felt.
Well, you don't know the difference between the palm of your hand and the back of your hand.
Right.
Famously, you don't know the difference. So this
my
is
hands.
Hello.
What's that from?
What? My hands?
I think that's a quote.
Where's
from
my
you?
Other glove?
My hands.
I don't know what you're talking about.
What the heck?
But have you ever seen Mad TV Dot? And she always has gloves on. Like she like lost a glove. She's like, where's my other glove? Where's my other glove? And she's like an adult, but she's acting like a 7 year old. I'm like, you've never seen?
No.
That's so funny. Okay. So, anyway, Moe's agrees to like go on a run with Emily.
Moe's is 100 yards ahead of Emily.
Oh, wait. One thing about yesterday. So I went to Pride yesterday and we pre-gamed in the Renaissance Hotel downtown. And then the concert was at Stage AE.
Yeah.
Okay. On the North Shore. We walked from the Renaissance to Stage AE.
Okay. Extra, extra small.
I was like, I didn't know we were hiking today. Thank God I wore my sneakers. We were like, and then like three of the guys we were with were like literally going so fast. It was as if they were running. They were like a full mile ahead of us. And the rest of us were back there and we were just like, we're not prepared to be hiking. And any, you know, buzz we had by the time we got there,
gone.
We started drinking again. But yeah, I wasn't expecting to exercise, but it was fun. It was still good. But I was on the bridge and like I was so scared that my rings were going to fall off into the water.
That's fair.
I kept thinking about it.
Because famously you have such thin fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything just falls off.
That is true.
Falls right off. That's you're lucky your clothes stayed on.
I mean, tell me about it. Like, I know. I was like, wait, we're going on a bridge? Wait, what? Guys. Okay, you guys might not be able to relate, but sometimes if the wind is too strong or if I'm just like a little bit too high up, my clothes can slip and just fall right off my frame, my delicate frame, my 93-pound frame.
Right.
And they were like, no.
Okay.
Well, we'll help you out if anything happens. Luckily, nothing did.
Thank God.
Anyway.
So Moses is running through the woods. With Emily. Mm-hmm. Emily's in a vest. Very.
With Emily should be in quotes though. Because Emily is not as fast.
Emily is winded.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we find out that Emily went to Paige's that night. The night that Allie's grave was dug up. And I don't even want to like explain it the way Paige explained it. So I'm just going to say that they kissed.
Emily kissed her. And it sounds like they made out. So but. Moe's realized that there was like drugs in Emily's flask. And she's like, I thought you were drunk. Then this happened to me. And I realized you weren't just drunk. And I know you didn't remember anything. And then I was feeling like a monster. She basically was feeling like she took advantage of Emily, like when she was drunk. And now to know that she was fully blacked out and Emily doesn't remember anything. And Emily's like really mad at her.
Which I understand.
I do, but I'm also like,
Paige didn't know.
I think
I will never defend Paige in my life, no, except for that.
I know.
I don't think it is she a really weird
that Emily's. But I'm wondering if Emily's just like, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, I think that's what she's more mad at. But it seems a little bit misplaced. Like, it's not coming off that way.
Anyway, so yeah, that's where we are.
Ren was unable to get Mona to stay. He could not convince them. So he says, "You know what, Hannah? I know you aren't allowed to visit her anymore and you're on like the restricted list, but I think if you went in there, they would really listen."
And she's like, "You know what? You're right."
And so this sweet angel, I think we can just go through this.
Yeah, she's like, so cute.
She gets her little purple flashcards and like creates a presentation and presents it to the board. And then like halfway through, she like throws it to the side and decides to speak from the heart. And she's like, it's sad because she's still calling Mona her best friend. Yeah. And I'm like, is she fighting to have Mona to stay because they need her for information? Or is she fighting because it's genuinely her friend and she doesn't want her going to Saratoga where there's no one she knows?
Saratoga.
That's what he said.
Sarasota.
I said Saratoga. I swear I did.
No, you did. I think in my head I was saying Sarasota.
Oh, Florida. You were okay.
And then you said Saratoga, and I was like, that doesn't sound right.
And you were like, it's Sarasota, bitch. And you were wrong.
In that case, I think Hannah would be an advocate.
That's true. So Hannah's like, she doesn't know anyone there. Like, no one cares about her there. No one would go visit her. She's my best friend. Like, I know she did a lot of bad stuff, but
she says a lot of really sweet things about Mona as a friend. And she freaking wins it.
She freaking wins it, shockingly enough.
And how she celebrates, you'll actually never be able to guess.
Actually, I like think I did I scream or gasp or both? I don't know. I had an audible reaction.
You made that sound that you made in last week's episode that we couldn't quite describe when you went in the middle of your sentence. Have you gotten there?
No, I don't.
Oh, I kept it in.
Oh, I don't
remember. Because we laughed in like silence for like a minute.
No, I haven't gotten there yet. Yeah, it shocked me to my core because Hannah kissed Ren right on the lips.
Like, what?
What?
And honestly, I don't want to spoil, but this isn't the last time she does this to someone.
To Ren?
No, to someone.
Okay.
She does it again later to a different person. And it's like, Hannah,
why is that like your gut reaction when you're happy? Is to kiss somebody on the fucking lips. That should be the last thing you want to do when you're happy. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Anyway,
if you hear my dog crying, then you hear my dog crying.
Yeah.
Whatever, okay? Anyway, so Hannah convinces them. She's really excited. And while all of this is happening, I think this is all happening in the same day, which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Arya has gone to the address to meet the guy named Bart, who, like, apparently can crack the whole Garrett case and, like, whatever, get him off. And it's actually a movie theater. And she walks in their clothes, and she's like, I just want, like, the film festival schedule, which seems very like her.
And maybe she was the right girl for the job.
Truly, she may have been. It may have been destiny. And so she starts talking to the guy.
She sees his name tag and gives him this look.
Oh, my God, this look. Phoebe goes, if somebody looked at me like that,
I would be like, surely I'm on fire.
I would be like, there's a gigantic bug on me.
Something's wrong.
Something is afoot.
And he's like, is there anything else I can do for you?
Yeah, he's a little uneasy.
And so basically, she gets him to like talk about how he knew Maya and Emily. He goes, that is not a couple you forget.
What did you mean by that? I am choosing to believe he meant that they're both supermodel good looking. Listen, Shay Mitchell comes in with anyone. That's not a couple I'm going to forget.
That's fair.
Shay Mitchell comes in with Maya. That's not a couple. I mean, they're beautiful. So,
but it was just an interesting.
But of course. And so it turns out he is one of the last people who's seen Maya alive because he saw her get into Garrett's car the night that she died.
Dude.
So now we understand why Bart is so important. While this is happening, Spencer and Caleb are together.
They're flirting.
Okay, yeah. They're fucking flirting. I literally wrote here, don't touch his arm, don't smile, don't hug.
She does all of them.
Oh, my God. They have a little moment. They're like, giggling about how Caleb has money now. She's like, oh, you got money now? I'm in.
It's like in those scenes, it's like in like movies where
Clueless vibes.
So yeah, like because she goes, it's this is you now.
Yes,
the new you does.
Yes,
about dry
you,
cleaning,
like, the makeover, like,
and it's,
yeah,
like,
or like She's All That. It's like that, yeah, movie where they like redo, like, the guy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has like a sweater, and she's like, that's $400 of sweater you've got there. And he's like, okay, I guess I should clean it on Gentle. She's like, no, you dry clean that. And he goes, I've never been really a dry cleaning guy. It's like, no figure. No figure. I was going to say no wonder or go figure.
Yeah. You know what, Spencer? Fucking save it.
Fucking save it. And as the camera pulls away, after they giggle about how she says that was then, this is now, she's touching his arm. They're smiling at each other and she's touching his arm and I feel betrayed.
And it's like, I think that if I didn't know the trajectory of this friendship,
I wouldn't think it was innocent still.
Really? I mean, it's kind of giving like brother, sister, maybe.
No, it's not. It's giving flirting, like you said.
Okay, fine. I'm giving her the benefit of the
doubt.
Stop it.
She doesn't deserve it. She's a snake. She's acting like a
Raquel,
fucking snake.
Raquel vibes.
Raquel vibes.
Except
Raquel,
she's smart.
Vibes.
She's smart, so it's worse.
Oh,
no,
my,
like,
God.
Wait a second. Actually.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Disgusting. Despicable, deplorable. Subhuman. Subhuman is my new favorite insult for someone. I mean, what a perfect, like, when you're like, you're the worst, I can't think of a word bad enough to describe subhuman.
Dude.
Oh!
Bites.
Iconic. Caleb is able to get into the Maya website, which is called MayaSpace. Obsessed. Good for you, Maya.
Maya, we need to get Lily's space.
Why the heck was this? This was like, this was like our password protected tumblers. Oh my God. Me and Michelle each had our private tumblers.
I didn't know you could have a private tumbler.
And so did Chloe, I think. And you had to have a password. Actually, Michelle's, you didn't have to have a password, but the URL was like insane. It was like hundreds of characters long. And it was like literally like punctuation, letters, numbers, capital, like, I mean, you never would be able to know unless she had it like written down somewhere and like gave it to me. But it was just like diary entries. And it's sort of like your close friend story, but like,
yeah,
so dramatic.
Man, I should go look at my Tumblr. That'll be depressing.
Dude. Oh, yeah. No, holy shit. I just know because I also was
Caroline
like.
Caroline looked at me and goes, oh, yeah.
No, no. I just mean because I also. But yours was like, what, the dinosaur?
Yeah. No, but it did look fire.
I'm sure.
It did. It was. I found like this really like great illustrations of dinosaurs that was in like, it looked like it was stamped.
So cute.
It looked good.
For you in middle school or you now?
I still think it looks good.
Okay, but I kind of still love Tumblr and like.
There's something about
but
it.
But I'm really into Pinterest right now, actually.
It's kind of like adult Tumblr.
Yeah, it is kind of. I'm really into it right now for like merch ideas. And then obviously for the wedding, I use a lot. Like clothes.
I've been trying to get inspiration for what I want my living space to look like.
I have one called D'Angelo's Home for when we buy a house and we can. Yeah. What style do you think your house will be?
I don't know. I'm really into like maximalist stuff.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. Thank God.
Like I want like.
Everyone is now though. And I'm like, shut the
fuck
up.
But I want every wall to be like a gallery wall and colors. And just like. Bright but cozy bright. Like I'm not a huge sunshine girl. Like
I'm not either, so I have blackout curtains. Right,
exactly.
There.
And people don't get it. Like I'm down for natural light, but like I once the sun's down, like I want warm colors and like a fall.
I want it to feel super cozy. I feel like this room feels super cozy.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree.
Like I need it to be cozy.
Mm.
I think maximalism is more cozy because it's like it's not like it's cluttered, and but it just feels like you can like live in the space.
And
like
it's
it feels
everything,
like you can relax.
It's things that you, I mean, ideally, like it's a filled with things that you've been collecting.
When I have people over, they like always say stuff about like the tchotchkes and like all my students are like, they like are obsessed with it in here because it probably seems so cool because they're like, I mean, minimalism was like the thing. And now people are into maximalism, but I've been here. And I'll never not be. But maximalism does get expensive. So that's where sometimes it's hard.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But it's all about collecting. I think that's what KK would say.
Yes, it is. It is. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yes.
Okay. So I don't even remember where we just were. Oh, Caleb gets in. Okay. And there are all these videos of Maya on the site. And
oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Currently, we have Aria, Spencer, and Hannah. And they're like, because Spencer texted Hannah right after she kissed Ren and was like, get here now. You need to see this. And they're going through it. And it's just like a vlog diary. And in one of them, Maya says, at my back, I always hear time's sweet chariot drawing near. It just means that we shouldn't waste any time like with the ones that we love.
If it weren't so embarrassing, it would be, like,
kind of sweet.
But also, like, whoa, she died young, you know?
Oh, I mean, I think it's still like that.
Well, I just, like, can't get past how irritating
it
is.
Well, she says, what did she say about
Emily?
She says, I wrote it down.
I think Emily's an old soul.
Oh, she goes, Emily is an old soul. I can feel it when I kiss her. I can hear clocks all over the world running backwards.
What the fuck? Actually, what the fuck?
Oh, my God. And I'm shocked Aria wasn't like, I'm stealing that. Writing that down real quick. Forgot to mention.
Like, wait, guys, it's crazy. She's quoted me.
Wait, is that from mine and Ezra's tandem short story that we wrote? We forgot to mention what Aria's been doing this whole fucking time.
Ugh, getting just
I
fucking
hate her
roasted.
Outfit. I actually hate her makeup, outfit, and hair in this scene.
And her.
She's like, I need to look the classiest I've ever looked, and she looks bad.
She looks like it's a freshman year homecoming look for someone.
Yes.
Where, like, you don't.
Well, one, you're not a freshman.
Like, your mom's buying you the dress, so it's like probably a little older looking, and your hair is like.
So the first still we get of Aria at the event is she's on the phone. And I just want to be like, if I'm at this like swanky ass exclusive event at a museum, meeting my boyfriend's mom for the first time, I'm not on my cell phone. On actually the phone. I'm not texting. She's speaking on the phone to Spencer.
Insane.
And then Ezra gets there. And Aria's like, okay, so like you're rich. Your family's got money. And it turns out that, like, everything in this museum was once in Ezra's grandparents' home. Like it belongs to them.
Like, what?
And his mom, like, endows all these museums. And so they gave it to the museums. And he's like, the difference between me and my family is they believe like this should all be kept for just them. And I think it should be somewhere like here. And I cut like, she goes, you cut off way more than just the last name when you switch to Ezra Fitz. And he's like, yeah. And she says to him something that I cannot wrap my brain around. She says, you owe me for all those ramen noodles. What is he? Are you talking shit right now? Because you're like, you haven't been taking me to nice fucking... You've been making me eat ramen fucking noodles like a broke bitch. And turns out you have money? Your family has money? I'm sorry, is that not so rude? Are you not shaken up by that?
I'm shaken up by everything.
It's just gross. And then
they start making Ezra's out.
Puts her in her place.
Well, no. Ezra and Arya start making out.
They do. That's another inappropriate thing.
They do. At this event. Yeah. It's inappropriate at the event to begin with, but yeah. Also in front of his mom. Like
wondering about it.
Who you've never met.
I'm just like wondering about it.
It wasn't even like a peck.
No. They're like, it's like a lip lock. It's like a lip lock.
The 6-second kiss.
Yes. It's like that. So then Arya's talking to Ezra's mom and she just like reads her for filth. It's kind of awesome.
She brings up Mike's criminal record, her father's infidelity.
She really like
her mother leaving the family.
All the fucking boxes. She goes,
it's really quite interesting. You can actually chart the cracks and strains in your family.
Like, so, and also she's very well aware that they were dating before.
Yeah.
He left the school.
Because she starts to
say like, Arya was the reason.
She's like, what do your parents think about Ezra? And she's like, well, my mom really likes him.
You just say they love him.
Yeah. It doesn't fucking matter.
If you're talking to his parents, they love him.
And then she keeps asking Arya questions. And Arya says, you ask questions like you already know the answer.
Bold.
Don't talk to an adult like that.
Bold. I don't care. I mean, I know that Ezra's mom is being like pretty brutal, but like don't fight back.
Go complain about that to your friends later.
Exactly. Not in the moment.
And it's not even like they have a relationship where like it's like a history.
No, zero.
Like this is
technically like the first real conversation they're having.
Exactly.
And she says, I am not going to stand by and let you ruin him.
Ooh. Yeah.
So that's not going super well.
She basically offers to bribe Arya to leave.
Crucial.
She's Arya's like not having it, and then she says something about compensation.
I'm trying to understand your motives, and there are real world compensations for ending this.
And then she says compensations, and the mom goes, "So I've caught your attention.
Gold digger." She doesn't say it, but she thinks it. She says it with a look,
which is crazy though, because Ezra does live in a, like, as far as Arya, I won't give her a lot, but I'll give her this.
She's
not in this relationship for the money.
For the money, no. And well, but she says that, and his mom's like, oh, of course, you love him. It's so romantic.
And she's like, I do.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And then she tears all the paintings off the wall and she like doesn't. Screams.
She doesn't, but she just throw her drink in the plant and storm out.
Yeah, she just leave. And Ezra's like, what did you do? You always do this. And then.
You always do this.
Why do you think I dropped Gerald?
Yes. Arya goes home and cries to her daddy, which is an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I just feel like, stop it. Because now Byron thinks you're cool.
I do love like the fear in a dad's voice when they ask what's wrong. He's like,
yeah. And he says something that is so untrue, but like nice of him to say to her. He goes, no one could ever be harmed by having you in their life. And it's like, Byron, do you know how many people have been harmed by having Arya Montgomery in their fucking lives? Do you?
And it's your fault.
Hear the little ring from my doorbell when I yell that loud?
Yeah.
Ah! Ah! Ooh! Talk about power. Talk about vocal power. Okay. Anyway, they're like, we need Emily to come watch these videos. We're back there. They're like, we cannot watch these without her. We got to do this. And they get to one specific video, and it's like the night that she died. And Maya is saying, I can't keep being afraid. Like, I need to face my fears. I can't keep running. And then police lights are reflected on her clothes, and that's the end of the video.
Yeah. Emily also had a weird moment at the boathouse where she thought she was alone, and then
Nate was there.
Yeah.
And then Emily went to talk to Mose, and Mose apologizes, and Emily's like, no, like, look, I wanted comfort, and I came here. Blech. She's like, I must have known that like I could be comforted here when I was drunk because I came here. And they go for a swim together. So Emily never hears the phone ring to hear about that they got into the Maya site. And then we have our A scene.
And it's just money, money, money.
Money, 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 money. Which one do you prefer? Money from Cabaret or money, money, money from Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia, always.
Wow. Money makes the world go round.
But my favorite song about money is probably Beautiful, Dirty, Rich by Lady Gaga.
Beautiful and dirty, dirty, rich, rich, beautiful, dirty, rich. Like that?
Yeah.
I did that right, right?
I think so. I love the drums in that song.
It's so good.
Makes me want to like...
Oh, yes.
Tap around.
I like, it's not about the money, 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 but specifically the Pitch Perfect version. anyway, yeah, so A just like takes a bunch of stacks of hundos.
And the person, the teller is like, do you remember that TikTok sound that was viral for so long that was like, I hate people that work at the bank.
Yeah.
Why were we so obsessed with that?
I wasn't,
for so
and
long.
I never got it.
Oh.
Why are you bringing that up now?
Because we're talking about bank tellers.
Oh. Well, she goes, just looking at you in that hoodie makes me shiver.
I guess
a weird way to say it's getting colder.
I guess summer's really over. Okay.
So, okay, we know it was A. Okay, A's got stacks
on stacks. We actually knew that already.
Who else do we know is rich?
Me.
Ezra. You.
Oh.
Yeah. You.
Mom pulled out my bonds yesterday.
Oh, bonds, bonds, bonds.
I know. Shout out to my grandparents.
Shout out to my grandparents. It's like a car revving up. All right, I'm going to read the synopsis. I am.
Okay. Hey, I got it last time, so that works.
Shut up. Literally shut the fuck up. Like, the sound of your voice drives me nuts. Drives me literally nuts. We don't need your money, money, money. Okay. Ooh, I like the title of this one. Hang on. HBO Max.
Fuck you.
You heard that right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Season 3, episode 9, The Con Game. Wow, Noel Kahn loves to come and go as he fucking pleases.
Yeah.
Spencer and Arya find themselves at Noel and Eric Kahn's party in hopes of saving Spencer's college career. What was going to be a quick stop turns into an opportunity for Arya and Spencer to get answers from Jenna. That's why she's... By the way, Jenna stood Nate up on their date.
This episode's insane, by the way.
Oh my God, I can't word.
Wait, what were you going to say?
Nate was like, oh, Jenna, like, never showed up for our date, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he did
Your
say that.
Your friend Jenna. You know she's not friends with Emily.
She literally told you to stop
seeing
her.
So I guess Jenna's back with Noel, is what this is telling me. The foreshadowing, you know?
Yeah, but also that's not why she didn't show up for the date.
No, I know, but, like, I think it's interesting. And, like Arya said about her mother last episode, she's a slut. Let's just, like, go to bed.
Okay.
and splat. We'll see you next week. Oh, now you do it.
Mm.
Oh. Huh.